reading and sermon by Pastor Daniel Krieger and guest preachers of the Word. Learn more about Zion Lutheran Church, the Christian faith, subscribing to this program, and joining us in person next Sunday for the entire Divine Worship by visiting zionhiawatha.org. Now God's Word.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our first reading is found in your Bibles in the book of the prophet Malachi, a prophecy concerning the ministry of John the Baptist who came to prepare the way. Page 1026 in your pew Bibles, and we read Malachi 3 beginning at verse 1. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, and the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And he will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver. And they will bring offerings in righteousness to the Lord. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord, as in the days of old and as in former years. Then I will draw near to you for judgment. I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, against the adulterers, against those who swear falsely, against those who oppress the hired worker in his wages, the widow and the fatherless, against those who thrust aside the sojourner and do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts. For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed. From the days of your fathers you have turned aside from my statutes, and have not kept them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our second reading is found in Philippians, page 1255 in your pew Bibles, and we read Philippians 1, beginning at verse 2. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart. For you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the righteous fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise out of respect for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel is found in the Gospel according to St. Luke, page 1097 in your pew Bibles, and we read Luke 3, beginning at verse 1. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip tetrarch of the region of Ituria and Trachonitis, and Lysanias tetrarch of Abilene, During the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. And he went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill be made low. And the crooked shall become straight, and the rough places shall become level ways. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God." He said, therefore, to the crowds that came out to be baptized him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits in keeping with repentance. And do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." And the crowds asked him, "What then shall we do?" And he answered them, "Whoever has two tunics is to share with him who has none. And whoever has food is to do likewise." Tax collectors also came to be baptized and said to him, "Teacher, what shall we do?" And he said to them, "Collect no more than you are authorized to do." Soldiers also asked him, "And we, what shall we do?" And he said to them, "Do not extort money from anyone by threats or by false accusation. Be content with your wages." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. My text is based on your Old Testament lesson for today. "For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed." This is our text. Please be seated. Totally hypothetical situation. I'm going to come to your house for dinner next week, and if I am not pleased with the meal, you will be condemned eternally to hell. I'm a picky eater. What can I say? So you want to prepare very well for me. Oh, and by the way, I'm going to bring some people with me, and they all need to like the food you serve. Now go, get the meal ready for me. You're probably saying to yourself, but how many people? And what exactly do you like to eat? If I don't tell you these things, how are you going to prepare? And so I come to your house, and I bring more people than you were prepared for, and you didn't serve me what I wanted, and I condemn you eternally to hell. Not that I have the authority, but this is just hypothetical. Wouldn't that be unfair? So let's make it a little different hypothetical. Same situation, I'm coming to your house next week, and oh, by the way, I'm just going to come all by myself. And I like prime rib, medium rare, broccoli with some hollandaise sauce on it, cherry cheesecake for dessert, and of course, I think you all know this, good coffee. So you go off your merry way and you prepare this meal for me, and I come knocking on the door, and oh, by the way, I changed my mind. I have 50 people along with me. And, oh, my stomach is not feeling the greatest today. Skip the prime rib. I want something really light. And you're not ready. You've prepared something completely different. And I condemn you eternally to hell. Would that not be unfair? Now, of course, these are rather goofy circumstances. But in our readings for today, John the Baptist came to prepare the hearts of people for the coming of Christ. And religiously in our world today, when it comes to what God expects of us, most people are quite content with not really being sure. And even believing that God changes his mind. What is a sin today? Is it the same as it was 30, 40 years ago? Our modern culture is constantly calling upon the church to adapt to the times, to change our ways, as if God somehow changes. And the idea that we really can't be sure about who he is or what he expects is commonplace. I've shared this statistic with you before, but there are organizations that go out and somewhat regularly poll people on what their basic beliefs are. And one of the commonplace poll questions is simply this: do you believe in moral absolutes? In other words, things that don't change. And in our culture today, roughly only about 25% of people believe that there are any moral positions that are absolute. In other words, they were the same yesterday, they're going to be the same today, and they're going to be that way forever. Our culture rejects the belief in absolutes. God is going to come again. And he's going to come to judge the world. How could John the Baptist possibly prepare people to receive the judge of the world if he changes? But God is not determined by what we believe about him. God is who he is. And he tells us who he is. And he doesn't change. For I, the Lord, do not change. That may not be a comforting message to the world, but particularly in the context of verse 6, God meant that to be a note of comfort. For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed. For you see, it's not just the justice of God that is unchanging. It is also his love, his mercy, his promises. When God makes a promise to his people, he doesn't change. And that's true no matter what the cost might be to him. Yes, God is just, and he is going to punish sin. And not the way the world defines sin to be, but sin as he himself defines it. And as Malachi rightly states in verse 2 of our Old Testament reading, "Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts, but who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears?" We are all full of sin. There's not a day that doesn't go by when we don't sin in thought, word, or deed. How can we possibly stand in the presence of a perfect God? How can His justice against us be satisfied? While the justice of God is unchanging, God Himself took that challenge upon Himself in the person of Jesus. Sin must be paid for. And no mere man can pay for it, and yet it is man who must suffer the consequences. And so God went to His Son, Jesus, and He had Him take upon Himself the flesh of man, that in Him the wrath of God might be fully satisfied, but not because He Himself had to pay for sin, but that He might pay the price of our sin. No, God's justice doesn't change, but neither does His mercy and love to those who seek Him. And that is a message that has been made clear throughout thousands of years in, if you will, unchanging fashion. You know, one of the great and unique differences about our Christian faith is the source from which we draw it. If you look at almost all other religions in the world, one of the consistencies you find is that if they do have some kind of holy book, it was developed over a very short period of history with maybe one author or a few people who knew that particular individual. The writings of Confucius. The Book of Mormon, one author, Joseph Smith. The Quran. Although Muhammad himself didn't write it down, his followers very shortly after his death wrote down those sayings of the Quran attributed to him. And then you get to the Bible. Not one author, not a dozen, but over 60. Spread across not 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, or even 100 years, but 1,500 years of human history. And what's remarkable is that from the beginning to the end, the message is still the same. And it's a message that's different from all other religions in the world as well. All other religions in some shape, way, fashion, or form lay out a plan of salvation that it basically depends upon how good you do according to whatever rules they come up with. That God sort of has some divine balance, and if you're a little bit more on the good side than the bad side, you get eternal life or some other reward. There's but one religion in the world that teaches salvation by grace alone because we can't save ourselves. And it's that religion we find in the Scriptures, beginning with Genesis and unchanging throughout the entire Scriptures until Revelation. I, the Lord, do not change. Or from the author of Hebrews, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is unchanging in His justice. What sin is and is not has never and will never change. And those who try to stand before Him on the basis of their own righteousness will always be condemned. Those who put their hope in His promises and in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, will never be disappointed. For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed. God, keep us in our Lord Jesus Christ, and in that word that never changes. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.
This program is a production of Zion Lutheran Church, Hiawatha, Iowa. Copyright, all rights reserved. Unless otherwise indicated, the scripture reading used in this program is from the Holy Bible, English Standard Version, ESV. Copyright 2001 by Crossway, a publishing ministry of Good News Publishers. Used by permission, all rights reserved. Hymn 556, Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice, was provided by LutheranTimeOut.org. Learn more about the Christian faith and joining us next Sunday in person by visiting ZionHiawatha.org.